as you know, I was going through this, and I took out, and last year I took out these. These were your prayer requests from last year. And there were 202 prayer requests on these cards. And as I was going through them, and I've gone through them many times, and I committed to you last year that I was going to take them, and I was going to pull them out and pray over them for you and on behalf of you. And you know, this is really the list. It's maybe hard for some of you in the back to see, but that's kind of the list of how everything is, and that was what went onto the Family Feud slide there. And if I should ask you, how many people had your prayer requests answered? Hopefully you remember what they are, because it was supposed to be a burden that you have. If I should ask you, how many, I know that a number of hands would go up. And I know that because I know some of your stories. I'm on the prayer line, and you know, we have this prayer line that we have every Monday nights, and we're going to do it Tuesday through Thursday, and we encourage you to be on there. But what we hear on there are the requests, but we also get to celebrate the answers, because the answers have come through. I'll just count one. You know, there was a family member of one of Donna's co-workers who had what everybody said was terminal brain cancer, and the group prayed, and now he's walking around completely in remission. And that's just one of the many, many stories that we have of people who saw their prayers answered. But also bet that if I should ask you, how many people didn't have their prayers answered, I would also see a bunch of hands that would go up. And the thing is that for a lot of people, and I got to tell you too, right, because you know, guys know me, that I'm pretty transparent, is that for all of us, at some point or another, we go through this thing about, well, is God real? Is God, you know, what is God saying? And, you know, I was telling my wife this morning, she worked 18 hours yesterday. And I was praying, I'm like, God, you know, I just let her come home early. And, you know, I was like having this wrestling argument with God, and I'm like, it's a simple request. Let her come home early. And some of you kind of struggle with that because you have these requests, you know, like, God, I need a man. I'm a nice girl. Or I need a girl because I'm a nice dude. I have a lot of love to give. And so you ever kind of wonder, well, what's God saying all of this? And I believe that I don't profess to know all the answers, but I do know some of them. Number one is sometimes why your prayers seem not to work is sometimes God says no, or sometimes not yet. And none of us like really like that. But I'm glad for the no, right? Because when I was in my freshman year of college, there was this girl. Her name was Suzette Gomez. Yes, I'm calling her out because, you know, she lives in the Virgin Islands, and she was coming to my university. I thought she was it. And I'm like, God, you know that this girl is it. I know that, and you know that, and we both know that, so let's just stop pretending and let her come to my brother. And God says no, and in hindsight, I'm happy for that no. So sometimes God says no because he has something better for you, and you guys all know that. And sometimes he says not yet. And we've been praying about this building for us and growth for us, and we're going to talk about that next week. And we're like, okay, God, where is all that? And God's like, just hold on. And I can tell you how many times that God has said, just hold on to me. He did it again this morning. My wife can tell you that this morning was a struggle for me personally, again, being in the interest of full transparency. And I was just like, God, what you saying in all this? And God, he took me to Lamentations 3. And at the end, I'm not even going to quote it here, but at the end, that last verse said something to me that spoke volumes. And over again, God's like, I remember one time I was praying about that, and God, literally, I heard God in patois. This is what he said. I lied to you not. It wasn't audible, but it was like, it was almost, it was audible. There was like a noise in my head, a sound in my head. It just said, wait, Naman. Just wait. Just wait. just chill. And so sometimes God says, not yet. And we don't like that answer, right? I don't like it. Because I know my time is best. Because I know what's good for me. At least so I think. But sometimes it requires more than that. You might say, well, I pray and I pray and I pray. And sometimes it requires fasting. You know, there was a time when Jesus' disciples were trying to cast out the demons out of this little boy. And God had given them the power to do all kind of miracles. And this time, they just couldn't cast out the demons. And so, they brought the little boy to Jesus. And Jesus said, hey, this kind of problem can only be solved not only by prayer, but by fasting. And as I think through some of our answered prayers, like I ask the question, is like, well, how many of us have taken this verse seriously? And have said that, well, this kind of problem, this kind of stronghold, this kind of burden, this kind of thing can only be solved through prayer and fasting. And people may ask, well, what's the big deal about fasting? Well, it's quite simple. We're all a tripartite human being. We're body, soul, and spirit. Our bodies are physical body. That's what you see here. Our soul is kind of like our personality and emotions. It's what makes us us, right? Put my personality into somebody else. You don't get that other person. You get me in another body. And your spirit is the part of you that lives on and that communicates with God. That, you know, and so what grows more is what we feed more. And what grows less is what we feed less. And if you want something to be stronger, you make that thing stronger, but you also make the other things that are competing weaker. And that's what fasting does. Fasting starves the body or starves the soul so that the spirit can be stronger. Prayer makes the spirit stronger. Fasting makes the body weaker. And just a couple notes on fasting. This isn't really our topic of a conversation today, but just a couple notes on it is that there are three types of fasts. We talked about that last year. There's a complete fast, which is really, no food. And, you know, very important, you need to drink water. You absolutely need to drink water. And, you know, for the most part, there's only special times that God have called people to like a complete fast. Most of the fasts that we see in the Bible are partial fasts. And partial fasts are, they can take a number of different formats. One is you cut out certain foods for X period of time, or you cut out certain meals for X period of time. And what was very common in Jewish time was what's called a Jewish fast, the sunrise to sundown. And so you kind of have that, or a Daniel fast where he cut out certain things out of it. And so, you know, so that's, and then the third thing is, and Daniel did this, in Daniel 9, I believe it was, he did an emotional fast where the things that made him feel good about himself, it wasn't food. He talked about fragrances and lotions and that kind of stuff. And he says, I went without that. And in today's, you know, that could be stuff like social media, whatever. You know, it's something that ministers, makes you feel really good. And you starve your soul in that particular case such that your spirit can grow. And sometimes, the reason why some of our prayers aren't answered is because we're like, God, I want you to solve it, but bring on the food, because the food looks good. Bring on the media, bring on the whatever. And God's like, hey, you need to understand there's a battle going on inside of you. And your body wants more, and your soul wants more, and your spirit is being crowded out. So sometimes it comes through that. And by the way, I'm going to invite you. Last year we did it. Last year we invited the church to join on a fast. And you can make it anything you feel the Lord calling you to do. In the Bible, most fasts were either 1, 3, 7, 10, 21, or 40 days. It's not a rule, but that's what they did. You know, you can pick any one of those and do those. But, you know, certainly during these three nights of prayer on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, kind of want you to think about that and consider that about your strongholds, because as I read through them, I read through the temptations that you guys are facing. I read through the fears that you guys are facing. I read through the feelings of, you know, porn addiction and, and substance abuse and all those other things were written right on these cards. And sometimes those can only be resolved through prayer and fasting. But there's also a third reason. There's a third reason, and you know that. And so, by the way, in our 3 days of prayer, there are three things. You know, Judy mentioned some, but I'm going to mention these three things that we're going to cover. One in the prayer session is a prayer for a personal burden. Number two is prayer for everything PCC, whatever you think about this church, leaders, whatever, pray about that. And number three are prayers of thanksgiving. And you know, and so there's a third reason. You know, the first one I mentioned was sometimes God says no. Sometimes it requires prayer and fasting. But this third reason is something that's not unique to you. It's not unique to me. And I'm going to take a little while before I get to it because I want to build up to it. It's unique. It's every single human being faces this. And I'm going to read a passage of scripture written by probably the Christian of Christians. It was the Apostle Paul. He said this in Romans 7. I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do. But what I hate to do, I do. For I do not do the good that I want to do, but the wrong I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. It's like a whole bunch of tongue twisters inside there. But Paul is saying, look, the things that I want to do, I do not do. But I do the things that I hate to do, and I don't understand why I do the things that I hate to do and not the things that I want to do. And as you think back to your 2017, how many of you can think back to your New Year's resolutions? The things that you said you wanted to do in 2017. And if I'm not going to do it, but if I should ask you to raise your hand and says, how many of you claim that verse? I think if we're all truthful, to some extent, in some issue or another, we would all raise our hands and says, yeah, there's that thing. There's that, I said I'm not going to eat more than 1,000 calories a day. I said I'm not going to go to the, I'm going to go to the gym. I'm already paying for the membership. I said I'm not going to look at that website anymore. I said, I'm not going to stay up late at night and watch that on TV anymore. I said, I'm not going to do that anymore. And then the following day, we wake up and this becomes our verse. I don't understand why I do the things that I do because I don't want to do them. And what I hate to do, I do. I just keep on doing it. And Paul goes through in Romans 5 through 8. You know, he goes through this elaborate thing, and I'm going to jump around a little bit, and it's going to be a little heady. It's going to be a little deep for a second, but it's to prove a point, to show you a point that says, hey, all of us struggle through this thing, that these things that we don't want to do that we do. And you don't got to be a Christian. You don't got to be, you could be a Muslim. You could be an atheist. You could be an agnostic. All of us here can say, I know what Paul's talking about. And Paul says, well, there's a reason why this is. In Romans 5, all the way through Romans 8, Paul is, and when you read this, it's really complicated. And so I'm going to try and break it down. Paul is, Bible scholars believe that he actually did not physically write this. They believe that he was dictating these words in Romans. And that paper was really expensive. And so the person who was actually writing it down wrote down everything Paul was saying. And Paul was talking. You guys, I don't know if you guys ever heard a Bob Marley interview. He asked a Bob Marley a question. He gives this long answer, and you're like, what is he talking about? And you take it and you dissect it, and he's like, oh, that makes sense. I remember one time he, you know, this interview, and people ask him, says, Bob, there's these other guys claiming that they're the original Wailers, like Bob Marley and the Wailers. And Bob said this. He's like, everybody's a Wailer. Everybody's a Wailer. get some music, sing some songs, and you're a wheeler. It's like, Bob, what are you talking about? And like, we're talking about the group, the Wailers. And that's what Paul, in essence, does here. Paul goes into this, and he goes off in tangents, and he comes back, and he wraps it around. So I'm going to break down what he was saying here. So Paul says, he says, the reason why we have this problem is that this, he said, when Adam sinned, when the first man sinned, sin, like a noun, like a thing, entered into the world. And Adam brought, that sin brought death. It and everybody knows this, that whenever there is sin involved, something dies. If you cheat on your spouse, the relationship dies. If you lie and constantly lie, relationship dies. Every time there is a sin, something dies. So a lot of times people think about physical death, and that too came into the world. But remember, every time there's a stronghold that you can't get rid of, something dies. If your stronghold is gluttony, you can't stop eating, and you eat too much, something dies. And he says, okay, we'll go back to the beginning. In the beginning, Adam sinned, and that brought death to everyone. And he says, what happens now is that when you are born, you become just like Adam. The sin virus that infected Adam's DNA passed down from generation to generation, and every single one of us is this. And that's what Paul calls it. Whenever you read it and you read Romans, he says, and it's actually all of his letters, he says this. Well, when you're in Adam, that's when you're in your natural state. That's when you're operating naturally. And you can't understand why you're doing the things you're doing. And Paul's like, whoa, you got to understand why you, because you're supposed to do that. When you're born with sin, as we all are, you're going to sin. People, you know, I expect sinners to sin. You know, people's like, how could he do that? And how could he do that? I'm like, I expect it, because that's your natural state. There's a singer, his name is George Clinton. You guys ever heard of George Clinton? It's different than Bill Clinton. They're two different people. George Clinton sings a song called Atomic Dog. And the song goes, why must I be like that? Why must I chase a cat? It's nothing but the dog in me. The reality is that dogs chase cats. Cats chase mice. And you have to train them. You got to do something to break that behavior, because that's the natural state. And as people, when we're born, our natural state is in Adam. And he goes on to say this and says this. He's like, you know, there's a power that's within me that is at war. It's in my mind. It's like this thing telling me, do this. And that power is in me. It's just telling me, and I can't resist it. It makes me a slave to that stronghold. It makes me a slave to fear. It makes me a slave to sin. It makes me a slave to all of this. And that is within me. It's like, I cannot help myself because I am a slave. And people say, oh, no, well, what am I going to do? But Paul says, hold up. Wait a minute. There's a song. It says, hold up. We're not going to sing it this morning. Paul says, hold on. See, there's something else. You see, you know, he said, before he said, he says, in my mind, I really want to obey God's law. But because of my nature, I can't do any different. I'm a slave to sin. And he says, but when you accept Jesus, something else happens. And he says this in a really complicated way. He says, you become in Christ. You're no longer in Adam, but you're now in Christ. He infuses you with a new DNA. He's like, I am going to rip out everything, and I'm going to put something else new inside of you. And so every time he mentions it in the Bible, he's like, but you're not in Adam. You're in Christ. You're in Christ. And by the way, this little cord back here, it's not that my hair is long. It's this cord is bothering me, so I'm like, keep flipping it back. And he says, and he said this to the folks. He's like, wait a minute. You're talking about the sinful nature, the Adam nature. He's like, and he asked this question. He's like, have you forgotten? Have you forgotten that when you accepted Jesus, when you started a relationship with Jesus, when you invited him to come into your life, have you forgotten that when you were joined to Jesus Christ in baptism, and it's not no fancy word, back then everybody knew, it just meant simply when you become immersed in, that when you're joined with Jesus Christ and became immersed in him, that we join him in his death? And that was really important because everybody knew back then that Jesus had raised from the dead. So when you said you joined him in death, you know what's come with that, because Jesus did not stay there. He came out of the grave. He says, for when you died with Christ, you were set free from that power of sin. So you should consider yourself dead to that power, to the Adam power, and alive to God through Jesus. He's like, have you forgotten? It's like, because apparently you've forgotten, and apparently I've forgotten. Because he's the same one. He's like, I don't know what I do, But I keep doing the things that I don't want to do, because that thing I do, I hate to do. I don't want to do it. That wasn't an exact quote. And I tell you all that because it brings us back to the third reason. The third reason why sometimes our prayers seem like they're not answered. Sometimes it's because we forget that we're no longer slaves. We forget that we're no longer slaves. And it's like, he's like, what are you talking about, Gary? And I'm like, look, you see, before we got a relationship with Christ, when we were in Adam, you don't have a choice. You can sometimes choose to do good, but the pull of your DNA says that you are going to do this. But once you're in here, you no longer have to do that. You can choose to do that, but you don't have to do that. When you're over here, you choose to do good. When you're over here, you choose to do bad. You get what I'm saying? It's like, because you have a different nature. You're a brand new person. And I was preparing for this, I started reading through when the slaves in the United States were emancipated and what happened. The Union soldiers came in and they went to every plantation, and I'm like, look, you gotta hold that town hall meeting. You gotta hold a meeting and tell the slaves that they're free. And they went around and they told all the slaves they were free, and people celebrated. It's like, I'm free, I'm free, I'm free, I'm free. And then the Union soldiers left. And then the slave says, what do I do? I only know this. I only know this. And an incredible amount of them stayed at the plantation and worked as a slave, because this is the only thing they knew, when the reality was they were free. And some left. And then when the going got a little bit tough, old massa there gave me food. Back over to massa's house. And massa like, I got you, ma. I got you. I give you some scraps. And the slave mentality is that we've been living as slaves for so long that we tend to forget that we are no longer slaves. We have the ability to say, I am free. I am free, and we don't exercise that ability. And when Jesus takes control of our life, we get a new relationship with him that makes us free. And that is a big, 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 big deal. It's so big deal that we just take it for granted. But it's really, really a big deal. So the question is, if we have the power to walk away, why don't we? Why don't we walk away when we have the power to not to choose that. And so that's what we're going to talk about for the rest of our time here. Because the slave mentality is really, really hard to get out of, because we were born into that, we grew up, we know that very well. And it plays out like this, right? I'm a man. I got needs. I'm saved, but I still got some needs. There's a girl over there who's like willing to meet those needs. I could ask forgiveness, right? God, please forgive me. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have done that. And why is it that we repeat this process over and over and again? As I mentioned before, you're not unique. Paul's not unique. Because there's things that every one of us face. And it's all different things. And here's something I read. And so what I'm about to tell you is not original. It's something that I read that I've tried. And I tell you that it worked. And it's working for me. And I'd like to suggest that you try this as part of your 2018. Three things you got to do. Declare. Resolve. And surrender. Declare, resolve, and surrender. In Romans 6:14, Paul says this. He says, you know, he's like talking to them. He's like, hey, look, guys, sin is no longer your master. For you no longer live under requirements of the law. He said, sin is no longer your master. The first thing that you got to do is decide. It actually is to say declare. It's to say declare that sin, you are not my master. You're not my master. Every time you get ready to say, hey, let me go over here and check over here, I want you to say it. Sin, you're not my master. I want you to say it audibly. Let's practice it. Sin, you're not my master. Come on, say it with confidence. Sin, you're not my master. Say it quietly, because sometimes you can't yell it out because the person next to you is going to think you're crazy. Say, sin, you're not my master. And I tell you that there's times when I'm like, you know, over the past couple months I've been doing this, times when I think about going over there, trying to go over there, and I remember inside my head, I'm like, I say it. Sin is not my master. Sin, you are not my master. And I'm like, irks, because saying it audibly does something. It stops you, because it's not like you're thinking in your head anymore. It's like there's power in the spoken word, if you don't believe that. You ain't reading your Bible. But there's power in that. Like, sin, you're not my master. You know how hard it is to do something wrong when you're saying right as you're doing it. Sin, you're not my master. That girl could look cute as ever, and you're kissing her, you know, whatever. He's like, sin, you're not my master. I guarantee something wrong with you if you're not going to stop. You make a plan to say it. Every single time that stronghold comes up, every time you're afraid of something, every time you get in a situation where I'm fear, I'm like, this fear, God didn't give me a spirit of fear. Sin, I recognize you. You're not my master. You're not my master. I'm no longer a slave to you. The second thing that you got to do is to resolve. You got to resolve here. You got to resolve that I am not going to let sin control the way I live. So one thing is to say it, but the other thing, you resolve in your head, it's like, I'm not going to do it. See, because most of us go through this thing inside of our heads, and all of us do it, that says that, you know, I really shouldn't cheat on my taxes, but Uncle Sam gets a lot of money. And if you start arguing with yourself from the point of the sin, you already given it control of the way you live, because your actions follow your thought processes. You need to start from the point where it's like, okay, sin is not my master. So that is not even an option. Every time you get ready to cheat on a test, you think, sin, you're not my master. Am I going to get a, because it's hard, right? When the slaves are free, they had to figure out how they're going to live. You got to figure out how you're going to pass this test. when it's so easy to live underneath the captivity and the bondage of your old slave master? And you got to say, I'm not. Sin, you're not my master. But there's a third thing that's not only you got to declare resolve, you got to also surrender. And do not present, Paul says this here, do not present any members or any parts of your body to sin as instruments to be used for unrighteousness. But present yourselves to God as those who are alive from the dead, and your body parts, your members, to God as instruments for use as his righteousness. Do you know that every single action that you do, every single stronghold that you have, the results of that starts out with one of your five senses? It starts out with, I'm going to look someplace where I'm not supposed to look. I'm going to go someplace and be in someplace that I ain't supposed to be at. And everybody knows I'm not supposed to be there, including me, but my feet are taking me there. I'm going to reach out and do something with my hands that I know I'm not supposed to do that. Do you know that one of the most passive things, but most powerful things, are the things that you hear? That if you keep hearing all these things, pretty soon, if you fill your mind with all one type of messages, pretty soon, your mind will be filled with that and your actions will start to follow that. And I remember there was a song that we used to sing in Sunday school. And I don't think they sing it anymore. It's kind of like gone the way of Jesus wants me for a sunbeam. It says, watch your eyes. Watch your eyes. What they see. For there's a Father up above looking down in tender love. Watch your eyes. Watch your eyes. What you see. Watch your ears. What your ears, what they hear. And he goes on and says, watch your feet, where they go. And the thing is that, you know, it's a book I read a long time. Everything I needed to learn, I learned in kindergarten. Pretty much everything that I need to learn about life, I learned in kindergarten and Sunday school. And that's one of the things that you got to watch. Your eyes, your hands, your feet. Watch your mouth. Every time you get ready to, I'm going to tell that person a piece of my mind. They're messing with the wrong person. Y'all don't know about me. Two snaps, a twist, no kiss. Just like you, just like Paul, I, along with every other human being, have our struggles. Because if I didn't, I would be perfect. And if I'd be perfect, I wouldn't be hanging out with y'all. You wouldn't want to hang out with me. I'd be in heaven. Because that's the only time any one of us are perfected. But what really has worked to make the declare, the resolve, and the surrender work for me? Is starting out with saying, sin, you're not my master. So the takeaways that I have for us this week is this. If you want to take the hold out of stronghold, make you strong, you got to declare it. Sin. You're not my master. I ain't going to listen to you. I'm not going to listen to you. You're not going to have any members. The second thing is you got to commit your members. Commit your body parts. It's like the guy who I heard talk about this, you know, he's writing. He's like, every morning he wakes up and he prays. He's like, God, I want you to taint my eyes. And I don't want you to use these eyes for anything, dealing with anything wrong. I want you to make me look at things that are only good. And he says, God, take my hands, take my feet, take my mind, take every part of my body every single day to commit it. And so he's like, look, commit it, because the things that you declare And you can substitute the word with sin with whatever you want. In the first one, you can say, lust, you're not my master. You could say, fear, you're not my master. You could say, weed, you're not my master. You can say, financial burden, you are not my master. You can say, temptation, you are not my master. You can say, sex, outside of the context of marriage, you are not my master. You can say, cigarettes. You are not my master. Substitute whatever it is that you put in there because you are no longer a slave to that. Because you are a child of God. You're born again into a family. And the third thing is, sometimes you got to fast. It only comes by prayer and fasting. And that's the third takeaway. And the question is, right, he's like, Pastor Gary, I'll try all of that, but will I hit perfection? And the answer is no, you will not hit perfection. But I will tell you something, that the strongholds, the devil will be scrambling, man. He's like, oh, snap, that ain't working anymore. Let me go try to find something else. And the strongholds aren't so strong anymore. All of a sudden, you figure out that the biggest stronghold in your life, you're dealing with like, man, should I have two slices of cake or one? Because the big things... the big things, you like, bam, 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 you ain't got control of me. You're gonna, the devil is scrambling. He's like, I don't got nothing else. I don't have nothing else in my tool set. That I'm flat out. And he's like, and somebody said, try the other piece of chocolate cake. He's like, all right, here's another piece of chocolate cake. And pretty soon you too can say, chocolate cake, you're not my master. Then you go to vanilla cake. The slavery mentality tries to kill your joy. If you want peace and you want joy and you want your 2018 to be better than your 2017, you got to declare it. You got to commit it. You got to pray about it. And you got to fast about it. You know, I started out this year with this box. And last year, I asked you to write three things on there: a personal burden that you had, and I asked you to write about a person that you're praying for, and I asked you to do something that you'd want to see change in 2017. 202 responses. This year, I'd like to do something like that again. No pressure. It's just really up to you. And as the praise team comes out, if you have a burden, if you have a stronghold that you'd like to commit, could be fear, it could be lust, it could be temptation, it could be whatever. I don't know what your issue is. And you want to commit that to the Lord. I, just like I did this year, where every time it came to mind, I took these out. I took these out, and I prayed over them. And I want to do that for you as one of your pastors. And we pray about it at pastors' meeting on occasions. The second thing, and you have those cards. I hope those cards were distributed. If not, you know, please distribute them. If you have a part of your body that you find is keeps on leading you into slavery mentality, is pulling you back over into this whole Adam world. It's like, oh, I remember that. Oh, it felt so good to be back in Egypt. Oh, and it keeps pulling you back here. And it may be your eyes. It may be something. And you want to say, God, I need help to get over that. You just write that down on that card. So not only your strongholds, but your eyes, your ears, or whatever, you write it down. And the third thing is if you have a burden. Whatever your burden is, you fill in the blank as to whatever that burden is. If you write that down, and I'm going to invite you, as the praise team sings this song, that really declares that sin, you're not my master. I'm no longer a slave to whatever it is, whatever stronghold, whatever body member, whatever burden. As they sing that, I want you to just write that down if you feel so exercised. I don't want you to drop it in this box. And as you know, if you have something to write, you can stay seated. And then when you finish, you rise and sing with the praise team. Or if you're like, you know, yeah, I'm practicing this, and I know some of you already are. I just invite you to just stand and just sing with the praise team as they sing that we're no longer slave to fill in the blank, but we can stand and say, I am a child of God. I am a child of God. I am a child of God. As I go to prayer and turn it over to them, if you can't say that I am a child of God, I'm going to invite you to do that, because there's nothing that brings greater joy and greater peace in your life than to not live over here in a place of guilt, but to live over here in a place of freedom. And if this is you, I just want you to pray this in your mind. I'm not going to call you up, but I'll be up here afterwards if you'd like to chat. This is a prayer. Father, I want 2018 to be better than 2017. I've been living this life in Adam, but I want to live this life in Christ. I want to break the bondage so that I don't have to choose to do good. But I want to be in a place where I choose, if I wanted to choose, to do evil. Because that's a so much better place. Because this place starts with a place of freedom. And Father, I would like that. And Lord, I just want to pray for everybody else here who have strongholds and have burdens and have body members or body parts that pull them down. In Jesus' name, to break the chains. Amen.